Log Talk Radio.
I look to the sea.
And she's buying stay away to heaven.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that live version. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a little bitty piece of musical caviar to serve up, if you ask me, gentlemen.
That was an FM radio staple for many, 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 many years.
Oh, yeah.
Even today it's still getting airplay.
Yeah.
That was Ann and Nancy Wilson Hart playing
that
song.
I thought that was them.
For Led Zeppelin for the Kennedy Awards, the Kennedy Honors,
yeah,
and it had
yeah.
them all crying. It was just
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah, it really yeah. was. To hear it in full, beautiful sound, it's a,
yeah.
just a stunning rendition. But you know, it's International yeah. Women's Day, and you know, she's buying the Stairway to Heaven. You know.
Now, a couple things about that song. Being a guitar player myself and playing a lot of blues jams here in the Columbus area, there's kind of a running joke with because it is so iconic. And everybody, even learning guitar, knows the first running riffs into that.
Right.
And the joke is how many people does it take to play Stairway to Heaven? Answer
what?
Being six. One to
six?
Play it and six others to stand around and say, I could have done that better. The other interesting thing is that Stairway to Heaven is actually almost taken straight out of Lord of the Rings.
I've heard
when
of that.
When they're into
yeah,
the Elven City,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They were very much into Tolkien's, R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, and I think
mm-hmm.
it's in the first book when they go to the Elven City. And the words are, and there's a paragraph in there where the word, that opening word, there's a lady who knows all that glitters is gold. Well, in the book, I think it says, there's a lady who knows all that is, all that glitters is not gold, or something
mm-hmm.
like that. They paraphrased it, and, you know, took it, you
sure.
know, modified a little bit. But, you know, that first line paragraph is in the book.
Well, not only an iconic song, but that was really an iconic album off of Led Zeppelin
yeah.
4, Zoso, or whatever
yeah.
they call it.
Yeah.
And that must have sold 18 billion copies.
Right.
It'll keep several generations
yeah.
going on the royalties, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
people are still buying it. You know, it's still available.
Yeah.
You know, a lot
sure.
of it.
Sure.
You know.
I downloaded it off of iTunes, this version of it, which is on iTunes, and it's all cleaned up and crisp as heck.
Yeah.
It's because what I played was a YouTube. Which wasn't bad.
Right.
It was HD.
Oh, incredible, yeah.
But
I remember a lot of radio shows at the time in the mid-70s there when this was iconic, and then there was also Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird. And they
oh,
would
yeah,
play
that
them
was
back,
a big one
back
too.
And ask the people in the listening audience which one they thought was the better, the
sure.
most iconic, best song ever. And
mm-hmm.
It was about a 50-50 even at that, so yeah.
I would have gone with Stairway to Heaven myself, but that's just my personal preference. I mean, I like Skynyrd's work in that, but you just can't beat the classic
yeah,
Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, hands down, I think is just the greatest rock and roll band. And there's so many groups, musicians, stylists that I listen to Michael Bublé. And I love the stuff that Jack is saying. He sent me a bunch of old songs and mix up. I finally found that again, Jack, when I was handing out
okay.
my file drawers.
Yeah.
But and even the beat up old recordings from of Billie Holiday or
oh yeah,
love me some Billie Holiday.
Or,
oh yeah, Strange Fruit. It's got to be, should be a required listening in every
yeah,
high school.
I heard that recently.
He made
beautiful,
class.
Beautiful song. Yep.
Annie Lennox just did a remastering of Strange Fruit.
She did.
Yeah. And, you know, Lennox is, she's a proven vocal, but she's also a stylist. And she made a version of it that was really, really beautiful. I liked it.
It's I heard on Democracy Now! Recently that they ran Strange Fruit, and I think Amy Goodman mentioned that she had heard somewhere or saw somewhere that Billie Holiday claimed she cried every time she got done singing it.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, geez, can you imagine? Yeah.
Well, I think it was also stimulated by they were doing a tour, and they happened to be going into Georgia mm-hmm. when they saw someone who had been lynched by, you know, we'll say the conservatives at that moment.
Right.
And that's what really moved her. And was it RCA who was recording? They didn't want her to do it because it was going to be too controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically told him to go pound sand. I'm recording this song.
Right. Yeah. I remember hearing about that.
I have to ask you, gentlemen, since it is International Women's Day, I feel I have a good platform to be speaking from.
Absolutely.
I'd like to ask you each, and I'll start with you, Jack. Jack, what do you think would be the benefit of true feminism or the equality between the sexes in making this a better world right now when we're at such an obvious edge?
Well, I would say I can answer that quite easily. Less testosterone following up the mix. There'd be less warfare. There'd be more discussion. There'd be more empathy. There'd be a lot of things would change for the better, I would say. And you'd have less gamesmanship. Well, you know, women can be very competitive among themselves, but in the whole scheme of things, I think they rule more wisely in many, many ways than men do, and they've seldom had the chance. There are very few matriarchal cultures.
That's true.
Well, yeah. Like her?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have to point to the ancient Celts, who quite often, and more as the norm than the exception, had the women as the leaders and the voice of wisdom in the Celtic culture. So this is when the Celts were still moving across Europe, which were in the northern part of Italy and southern part of France, and, you know, even before they crossed the British Isles. I'm talking about that, you know, in that time frame, they were still that far revered to the women wisdom.
Hold on there, boyo. I mean, you know, the high kings and queens of Tara did a lot of ruling in ancient Ireland. Of course, we are talking probably a little bit more of less Finian and more Danann, but they were Celts nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Celtic wave actually came from...
And you're talking about Gaul. You're talking about when France was Gaul, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Celtic nation migrated from what we know today as Afghanistan and Karakistan. You go up into the mountains there, and you'll see in the ancient stone carvings the same Celtic symbols. And this is where the kind of blue eyes really came from. It was in that section there. And they had a westward movement. And the early Celts actually defeated the Romans back in the day. Matter of fact, it was even in the time of Alexander the Great, the northern Celts there, they actually went up and talked with them and asked, you know, because he was getting ready to make his campaign into the Persian and Asia area. And, of course, you know, he wanted these Celtics that were north of them. So he had sent emissaries up there and basically asked him, said, you know, what do you fear? Because, you know, the Macedonians had this really great army under Alexander the Great and his father before him. And they said, well, we fear the mountains crumbling on us. We fear the earth opening up on us. He said, and the flooding of the area. He said, well, we don't fear you. And that was their answer to him. Right. Then they went on and, you know, ravaged and sacked the northern part of Rome. Matter of fact, what we know now today as Tuscany was actually taken over by the Celtic tribes that were moving westward at the time. Then they continued on through the southern part of France and then crossed into the British Isles of what we know now as Scotland and Ireland in that area. But coming full circle was they were a matriarch. Also, too, Gwen, I want to give a little shout-out to my youngest daughter, Morgan, which is tangible here. Just finished a project in a humanities class, and she wrote about gender bias in education. It's one of her. I'm sorry, it was one of her education, and talking about how girls, by the time they're in high school, you know, I can't do math. I don't like math because that's more of a male-dominated thing.
Right.
And my daughter's going into education, and she was talking about the need to removal of the gender bias in education, and by empowering young ladies at an early age, that they can accomplish anything they want to. But needless to say, she got an A.
That's good for her. That's great.
That's the old arts bias. Arts are for women and science is for men. That's basically
exactly.
Where it comes from.
Yeah. Exactly, Gwen. Very well stated.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't go to public schools, so I went to private schools. And in the private schools, there was an equal amount, sometimes more women, on the science side of it than the arts side. Saw a lot of guys who were really into the histories and literature. You know, but when I went to school at Cornell, there was a lot more women in science than there were men.
Good, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I'll speak to this. The man who hired me with this engineering firm out here is retiring, and his replacement is a woman who I have she's very knowledgeable. I have a high respect for her, and she is managing and taking over, as a matter of fact, it's January the 1st, and doing a very good job. Nothing but kudos to her. I have very much respect for her knowledge.
Wayne, is your daughter also, is she referring to or adding in the private and charter school accommodation to conservative and right-wing values that are being placed?
I think it was more of a broad blanket coverage of education in general.
Okay. So education in the United States in the high school level?
Yes, all right, exactly. Well, the thing is now we have a charter school. Basically it's in Georgetown, Delaware, which is like heading straight towards the ocean from my farm. That is geared towards the science, the maths, and that aspect. And I know several young ladies who are attending that school. That was of my daughter's age.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the high school. Well, actually, high school and then graduated after that, too. So.
Yeah. Wayne, I've heard you mention several times your farm in Maryland there. What do you grow on that farm?
It's all combine crops, wheat, barley, soybeans.
Oh, okay.
No corn. You really need irrigation for corn, but yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm a gentleman farmer. I rent out my fields to someone who can afford to invest, you know, $200,000 in a combine, $100,000 in a tractor, yada, yada, yada.
Sure, yeah, right.
So, let me ask you.
Yeah, and then those, yeah, go ahead.
How are the crops? They're organic or non-GMO crops, or do you know? Or
yes, I do. because I don't have control. I rent the fields out. It's like no-till soybeans and the wheat and barley. The wheat and barley return back the nutrients to the soybeans. It's the crop rotation aspect, but there is a Roundup spread on it. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre.
That's how many layers of topsoil after 20 years?
I will say that the farmer in that aspect is a good steward of the land. I've actually put some of my farmland, which would be right next to a drainage ditch / stream.
Yeah.
The planted trees is a buffer.
Oh, cool.
Type of thing. So for the runoff and stuff, right? And
good move.
Thank you. And so yeah, the topsoil is staying there, and plus two, the there is what I want to say, not necessarily organic, but true biomass, you know, that's also put on it, not just chemicals.
Interesting. You know, Wayne, right before you came on, Gwen and I were talking about, I was just this weekend, I was watching a very interesting show about women in men's fields. One of the fields that they were in, about five or six women, they covered their story. They were in brewing. They were brewing beer.
And, really?
Some of them were out in the fields cultivating the hops and everything else. I mean, it was pretty damn interesting. And
yeah.
I guess even today, brewing is 90% male or around 90% male.
Yeah.
But females
yeah.
are making a lot of inroads in it. And they were different women were attending different conferences and conventions and things. And they would offer up some of the samples of the beer that they had they had made. And a number of them took first place, and some took second, and a lot of them placed. So very interesting
very good.
They're making inroads like that. And some of them were going – I had a lady over from Sweden that attended a show in Denver that was brewing and sampling American-made brews, and she was going to bring home what she learned. So one of the ladies that was these girls, they were all, you know, from mid-20s to probably just below 40 in age, and they had been in various careers, each one of them, different ones, and they all decided, hey, forget it. I want to be my own boss. I want to do it my own way, and I'm going to brew my beer. So they started doing that, and they're making inroads in that male-dominated industry. So I thought that was very interesting, and the very fact that they're out in the fields working on the hops and everything else, man, that was incredible.
Well, I will say that go ahead, Gwen, please.
Microbreweries are one of those up-and-coming businesses around big cities where you can supply one or two major restaurants and you can make a really great living that way.
Very true.
We have a lot of that in Columbus right now.
Do you guys
right now in Columbus there's a lot of microbreweries.
There's one down here in Pompano and their own restaurant built around it. I've never drank mead. Do you know what I mean by mead?
Yes, honey mead. It's basically an alcohol made from honey. It's very expensive, but, matter of fact, they were making mead long before anybody ever thought of making any other form of liquor.
That's true.
Because the honeybees, they would ferment the honey. Ancient Egyptians, I think.
Yeah, I've heard of that. That's true.
It's really great stuff. I attend almost every ceremony I ever go to, there's people bring homemade all the time. You can use hops, you can use dried fruit. There's so many things you can use with the honey and create mead. It's really quite.
Right.
Yeah, it's something I've never tasted, wanted to. And I guess you could buy like a six pack of mead, but it's going, you know, here in Columbus area. I looked into it was like $30 or $40 for a six pack, and I thought, I don't need to taste it that bad.
I'm thinking that's why so many people make their own.
Well, matter of fact, it's funny you mentioned that. I remember watching on a Sunday morning program. A guy out in California, you know, he had a regular workaday, you know, accounting kind of life. But he, you know, was also as a hobby, was raising, had beehives for the honey. Well, then he started making honey mead. He can't meet the demand. He's quit his job. He's trying to expand as much as he can because of the demand for his honey mead is growing in a lot of popularity. And
well, that's good, especially because honeybees are becoming scarcer due to man's activities. Our pollution and everything else is really affecting the populations. So anything that can be can grow those, that's a good move.
You know, it's funny. The bees, especially the honeybees, I have these little flowers that grow in my grass, and if I walk out in the morning to take my dog out and I see lots of bees over the grass, that you're going to think this is strange, but it's always true. If I see a great many of them there, I always have a very good day of business. And
wow,
if I go
incredible.
Out, I don't see many.
I can see where that could be a litmus, yeah. So,
it's a slow day. And it's just stunning, but it is true. I guarantee it to you.
That's because you're in such harmony with nature there, Gwen.
Huh?
That's because you're in such harmony with nature yourself.
Well, yeah, I pay attention. I judge my world around me by what's going on, especially with the nature around me.
Sure.
You know. And anybody can. And a good farmer, that's how he lives
yep.
his life.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, you're right. There's still, you know, the ticking of the seasons, the day-to-day changes in the weather and environment and conditions. You've got to be very much in tune to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask you, gentlemen, speaking of the weather, have you seen where the offices in Tallahassee, Florida, of our governor here, has demanded that Florida officials do not refer in any state-produced emails or literature or anything like that, that they can't use the terms climate change or global warming.
That figures. Thanks, Rick Scott. What an ignorant idiot.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm actually emailing Tallahassee twice a week with it in it. Just to give them a hard time. I think it might snafu their email system.
Good.
Yeah, well, there's...
believe that.
There's nothing more than wanton ignorance.
And conservative companies are buying all the weather information media. Did you know that? The Weather Channel?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh yeah, they have such sneaky ways of trying to influence public opinion their way. You know, that sounds like the Koch brothers have their fingers behind that. I wouldn't doubt that at all. That's about how they operate.
Actually, one of the largest investors is the American Rothschilds, who are
really
basically supposed to be liberal Democrats. You know, that's who we. Of course, what's a liberal Democrat anymore, anyway?
Yeah, that's true. There aren't too many of them around.
There was a great deal of conversation this past week about, I'm sorry, drew a blank right away. Sorry, guys. Just drop that ball.
Well, let me jump in and talk about the global warming, and maybe it'll come to you. It's odd that 97% of the physicists, physics definition is the science of nature, that 98% of the physicists worldwide are all in agreement that global warming is real, it is happening, and yes, it is man-made.
Is man-made. Yes, I've heard that too.
There
I've heard 97%.
No doubt, and 98% of the scientists, physicists,
What's going to happen to all of that when the TPP is passed and international law for so many countries?
What a disaster.
Well, like I said in the poem that I've got on my website, Lines and Times of F. Wayne Johnson, it's called Man Evolves into Extinction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you go on there and read that, it basically just sums it up very well.
Is that the latest one?
No, that was a while back.
Back in the fall or something, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually wrote it back in the early 2000s during the W. Bush, campaign for science ignorance.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you reposted that from Engineer of Knowledge.
Yes, I reposted it right in the fall.
Okay.
Right in the fall. Right. That's cool.
Well, they've been fighting this for years, and it's a futile thing. But they're gonna put all their guns toward it, and they're gonna try and deny it. But you can't deny the truth, and eventually they will lose, and they're going to spend a lot of money in the meantime trying to gain favor with the public for an idea that will fail. And, you know,
well,
it's just unbelievable. They try to game the system so much. You know,
sure.
I was talking with Gwen earlier, not today, but recently about a campaign I just discovered that I'm going to cover it in my blog next week, I think. But it's something that conservatives and liberals and all and apolitical people can all agree on. Everybody at this point, except for the big rich industrialists, they all are just, they're so disgusted with this Citizens United ruling where you can just throw all kinds of corporate money into politics and try and buy politicians and buy elections. And, you know, a wonderful thing has just come up that I just found out about it. When I heard about it, I started laughing. It was so funny. You know, Ben and Jerry, you know, the ice cream?
Yes, the ice cream guys. Uh-huh.
Ben Cohen, who is the co-founder of that, also started with Jerry a new organization called the Stamp Stampede. And if you go to stampstampede.org, you will see a bunch of products that they're offering that evolve around stamps and T-shirts and things like that, stamps to stamp bills with messages like corporations are not people, the system isn't broken, it's fixed, and not for bribing politicians.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I do like that, Jack.
I thought that was so clever. And, you know, when you look at how dollar bills go, they're passed around constantly. Easily, several million people could see this by the time of the next election. I love the idea. And it's totally legal. They had a brief from their lawyer. Their lawyer printed a long brief that said it's absolutely perfectly legal to write on or to mark dollar bills. You know, isn't that incredible?
I like that.
I love the idea, stampstampede.org.
I want to pass on a quote. John Stuart Mills, who was really a mid-1800s British parliamentary elected official, who was also very progressive. Matter of fact, he's given credit for coining the phrase liberal from the Latin root liberate, which simply means free man.
Right.
To liberate, when the Allied forces liberated Europe from Nazi Germany, liberal, right? Liberal. It's all connected. So, you know, when rest of them are those liberals, what's he really saying? Those free men, those free thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Free thinkers,
what a really
good
wrong truth. So, all right, John Stuart Mill's, one of his famous quotes are, all truth goes through three stages. Or is this Nietzsche? Anyway. First it is ridiculed. Then it is violently opposed. And the third and final step is, it's viewed as being quite self-evident.
Yeah, we've seen that in our own lifetime.
About global warming.
We've seen that in our own lifetime, and we will see it with global warming, I predict it. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with Social Security. Boy, did the Republicans fight that in the beginning. Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely.
They're still trying to
ruin this country under Roosevelt. Sure.
Right, exactly. They couldn't stand the idea of it, and gradually they came to defend it. If certain ones now, reactionaries, are coming up. They want to replace it or get rid of it, but
yeah, they want to call
they're not going to win.
The entitlement of it was welfare.
Yeah, and
of course, again, that's the funding of the Koch brothers.
Bush thought he had all that political capital after he won re-election, and so he thought he'd go after Social Security, try and privatize it. Boy, did he get bashed in the face for that!
Yeah.
That was the end of his effectiveness as a president.
Did you all notice the two things happen this week? The 50th anniversary of Selma.
Of Selma, yeah. No Republicans went, except for Bush.
No, they didn't. And then, of course, there's the incredible report out of Ferguson.
Well, they got emails. Well, remember when Rodney King was beaten and then they were listening to the radio broadcast and said, yeah, we got gorillas in the mist going on here, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because he was a black man, he was a gorilla, you know, just another damn monkey ass him up. You know.
And the one about Obama out of Ferguson, Obama will only be a one-term president because whoever heard of a black man serving out 4 years at the same job or what? It was just silly
like
that.
Yeah, something like that. You know, all
it was
that,
very
you know,
racist.
All that ignorance. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and nothing is being done by the Department of Justice to actively, you know, address a lot of...
Eric Holder's a wimp.
There's a lot of skirt blowing. Well, you know what? I think he's being told by the White House what to do.
Could be.
You know, don't ruffle. Like I said before, there isn't a fight that Obama can't run away from.
That's true. Yeah, he drops his dukes instead of raises them.
That's true. And in the midst of all of this, you've got Hillary Clinton saying, you know, hey, publish my emails, and to shut them all up, and they're not shutting up.
No.
Well, the thing is what they're going after Hillary Clinton right now, you know, of having, you know, the personal emails and the, you know, the aspects within her fingertips, no matter where she is, be she home or wherever. Colin Powell had the exact same setup.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Now, they're talking about subpoenaing her. Are they going to subpoena Colin Powell too?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. You know what it is? It's very obvious. They're scared to death of a Clinton presidency. A Hillary Clinton presidency.
Right.
They didn't like Bill. They're going to hate her, too. They hated her as a senator. They did everything they could to discredit her.
The first lady. Remember,
yeah.
It was Hillary Care?
Oh, exactly. Office? Yeah, I know. They just, there's something wrong with these guys. They just, it's disgusting. Now, there are grounds for criticizing Hillary Clinton, particularly her corporateness. But beside all that, these guys, it'd be just like Obama. Anything they can grab to throw at her, hoping something will stick so that they can knock her out of her perceived power base or any of that
right,
stuff.
Her
it's
position,
insane.
Her position. Right.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah,
it's disgusting. You know, it's funny, all of the people you might ask, why do you vote for, especially people of lower income jobs and, you know, why do you vote for these people who are taking all of the federal grants and funding for you when you don't have it and you need it and la, la, la?
Oh, well, they do it with fear. They do it out of fear.
Well, and a lot of them will say, well, they know how to run business and business will make...
Oh.
That it's all very, very stupid answers.
We know otherwise, don't we?
Smart people in other situations. It's just you begin to think there's a conspiracy out there in the water somewhere. You know, like,
well, there's a lot of it. The undercurrents of it are being actively stirred up by people like Karl Rove and the Koch brothers and people like that, because they love to spread disinformation. They want it.
Sure.
They want
that's
lower classes
platform.
Fighting amongst themselves, so they won't ever rise up and threaten against them.
Right. As long as you keep the lower classes, the economically
in turmoil,
downtrodden, and even middle class.
Oh, sure.
Really where the battleground is.
Right.
If you keep them fighting among themselves, then they can't see what you're really doing.
Exactly.
Because they're too busy, whatever.
They're dealing with the minutiae instead of the big grand picture.
Exactly. Yeah, fighting things over, there's a war on Christmas. Let's make up something here. Yeah, war on Christmas, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
The amount of shit
really
they come
good.
Up with.
Right. Anything to just keep you occupied from the middle class on down. That way they keep perceiving, they just keep moving things on. It's like, look at the little birdie over here. It's like the old magician trick. Divertive attention over here. Meanwhile, I'm pulling coins out of my pocket to produce out of your ear.
Look at the corporate-owned mainstream media. Look at what they do. They broadcast tons of celebrity information and celebrity miscues and mistakes and marriages and failing and all that stuff. Who cares? Who gives
really?
A damn? They never discuss real topics in depth. They never do any depth reporting anymore. They don't analyze them worth a damn. And instead, they give you this bullshit about, in the old days, it was Michael Jackson and then Lindsay Lohan and then Kim Kardashian. Who the hell will it be next? It'll be some other bimbo, you know?
Yeah, well.
And it's just a constant diet of that shit.
Maybe we shouldn't have used the word bimbo today, Jack.
Gentlemen, I have known quite a few young men who fill bimbo definition very well.
Oh,
oh
okay
yeah.
then. With your permission.
Yeah,
with your permission and blessings, Glenn.
Bimbo is not just not the female gender. There's a lot of male bimbos too.
Right. There's plenty of male
Doomkoffs or whatever you want to call them. They're all morons. But you know, it's so tiresome and it's so bullshit. And who cares? It's so trivial. Who gives a damn? I don't care what Kim Kardashian wears, eats, does. Who she goes with, who she breaks up with, I don't give a damn.
I didn't even know who she was, and then my sister said, "You're kidding me. I mean, you can't get away from the bitch." I looked him up, and I said, "Oh, and this is because Bruce Jenner married into the family? What?"
Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't affect normal people at all. All it does is assuage their curiosity, their insane curiosity about
gossip.
Trivial
it's,
matters.
Yeah, it's the same old, yeah. It's you know, the same old need. Some people for their need of gossip.
Yeah, and it keeps people from looking at and analyzing the real important topics like global warming, climate change, wealth disparity, all kinds of things that they should be looking at. Instead, they're busy worrying about the Jackson estate and all this other shit. Who cares?
Yeah, well. How about another topic, Glenn?
Okay. Well, I suppose since it is International Women's Day, men have always been fond of remarking that women are very vain and very, you know, what they care most about.
Well, look at Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Look at Ted Cruz. Talk about vanity.
Science actually confirms that men are more narcissistic than women. So,
look at old Boehner. Boehner. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Boehner. Yeah, Boehner. Yeah.
Boehner has to dye his head orange because anytime there's a camera, maybe turned on him or something. It's like
so insane.
His need to be tan all the time.
And he's unhealthy tan. That orange is insane.
it
reminds me of the old
iodine.
Copper tone is to turn your skin orange.
Spraying with iodine, sure.
He's using some kind of cream or something, but it's not really good.
I spent too much time in the tanning booth, and he will have skin cancer. You wait and see.
Yeah. Well, like I said. I'm a natural shade of pale, and you have to work real hard to stay this pale.
Yeah.
The Scottish Celtic in me is, and my youngest daughter, she played on played basketball, and she was like the only white girl on the basketball team, and they'd look at her and say, you really are white, aren't you?
Very fair, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Very fair skin. Well, again, it's that Irish Celtic.
In the whole scheme of things, it doesn't matter, does it, Wayne?
No.
It's another thing for silly people to worry about that they shouldn't have to even think about, but instead they worry about it. It's just dumb.
I'd rather both daughters. Matter of fact, I'm very proud of both the daughters. My oldest just recently here got her master's from Johns Hopkins in neuroeducation.
Great.
I've taught both of them to develop your mind. There's nothing more sexier to a man than an intelligent woman.
Right. A man that's well healed, that isn't insecure and won't feel threatened by her.
As the father of the bride, I'll say anybody worth bringing home.
There you go. Good point.
There's not as many young ladies being nurtured to as my Yankee mother brought us up to be independent and to create for ourselves what we needed before we ever, but never be dependent. And which women of the last 20 years, I mean, even the Xers are independent.
Very much so. Yep.
A lot of young women today are nurtured by, fame and music videos and stuff. And I guess the growing numbers of young women who are more interested in marrying a rich man, it's no longer a 1960s movie that's meant to entertain.
Right.
It's become a point of of egress in the maturation of young women in this country and in many places in Europe, too. And
yeah,
Japan,
well, I was going to say.
Asia. Yeah. Asia, too. It's like a throwback to chattel. It's very disturbing.
Glenn, you and I, and Jack, too, can remember well before basically birth control was legal. At one point, even in the 50s and early 60s, in some states, if a woman was caught with any form of birth control, that was a crime.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, with the and then with the invention of the pill, which was then in 69,
63, 70, I think it was.
When?
I think it was 63.
No, it was it came
the
out
pill?
Much later.
The
yeah,
pill?
The birth control pill came out
oh.
much later.
No,
around
positive
like
was about 63.
69
but
or
it didn't really gain popularity till about 64 or 5, but I'm sure it was well ahead of 69.
Listen, it created women's awareness and Planned Parenthood clinics all over the country.
Right.
It gave a woman control of her own reproduction body.
Yeah.
And I did my community service in college with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Okay.
Great group of people. This is an institution that has been filled and led by really wonderful people. I don't mean just women. There are a lot of men who filled roles in Planned Parenthood that were exceptional in leadership.
And once again, here's the disinformation that's being spread about that organization, which is very beneficial for women's health overall. They make it sound like it's a hotbed for abortion, and they immediately refer you to an abortion clinic. That's not the way it is. It's not right at all.
You know, it used to be that women's, quote, social circles for young women like Junior League and Daughters of the American Revolution would suggest to their young ladies in college, and this is what happened to me, go and do your community service at Planned Parenthood. You wouldn't hear that now.
Not in today's political climate.
No.
Yeah, you can thank Jerry Falwell and those goofballs for that stuff. They abandoned their old racist anti-black, technique, and they evolved it into anti-gay and anti-feminist and just, total bullshit. And it's unbelievable
I'll say with the Jerry Falwell crowd, there's still that underlying.
Oh, they're there, yeah.
Yeah. They'll
pick on some other group next. They always got to pick on people.
Right.
They're holier than
right.
everybody except, themselves. You know, they think everybody's got to be like them. They're so ignorant.
Well, that's. Yeah, there's plenty of people, but the only way they feel good about themselves is that they're tearing down someone else.
Yeah, they're unchristian. They're not Christian in the least, and they think they are. They spread the word that they are, but it's not true. A lot of them, all they do is bilk money out of people. Pat Robertson's a great example of that. And
all he does is in the most unreal kinds of fears. I mean, I saw posts last week from him where he was warning people not to purchase items at the thrift shops because they might have demons attached to them.
I heard that. He is wacko.
Now, to be exacting with that, it's from my point of view, there's some nasty stuff attached to things sometimes in houses, in the land. But what Mr. Robertson is doing is appealing to ignorant fear in order to control the masses who listen to him and to get more pennies, nickels, quarters, and dollars.
And he's also spreading bullshit about how he can cure people through email. Somebody sent in an email about her daughter that was plagued with blah, 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 and he supposedly cured the daughter. I wouldn't believe it in a minute.
Hey, Glenn, let me give a little shout-out about these thrift stores, the Goodwill and the thrift store. My whole apartment is decorated and filled with items I got from the Goodwill here locally in Columbus. I'm aware, too, leather jackets, nice leather jackets. One's more winter, one's more spring and fall. I gave like $18 for the winter one, and I gave $14 for the fall and the lighter jacket one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I haven't felt any demons, or maybe I'm the one perpetuating the demons into them. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I've actually grown a great, great big appreciation for the thrift stores and the Goodwill industry, Salvation Army stores.
You can go in there right now,
and you can buy beautiful color television. Of course, it's a cathode ray. But you can buy one that works really well. It has a cable input on it. And you'll pay $20 or $10 for it. It might be, you know, a huge. And there's also, they have really great clothes sometimes. I've started picking up little table place settings for the table. Matching one place setting and then getting another matching, you know, just one of each. It's kind of neat. It's a collecting of kinds, I guess.
I call it kitsch.
Yeah, my mom did too.
My microwave, I think, cost me a total of $8.
Wow. That's a good buy.
Matter of fact, I've got a lamp here. I think I gave $12 or $14 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a nice cast, either the pot metal or a light bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Late 30s, early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this Peruvian lighting a cigar, right?
Mm-hmm.
The detail in the casting of this is, like, fantastic. You can see the wear and tattering of his poncho.
Yeah.
I have a friend that has, like, she'll post stuff on eBay for you.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Wayne, that thing's worth $300 if it's worth a dime.
Yeah.
I gave $12 or $14 for it.
Yeah. You'll find the incredible things at these places. There's no doubt about it. Gwen, while I think of it, you had mentioned earlier in the show about how your mother had raised you to be more independent than most you and your sister. And we know you've turned into a great activist and a very excellent blender of scents and things. Well, your sister, you've mentioned your sister a few times. What is she involved with?
Well, my sister is an acupuncturist.
She is? Well, how about that?
Yeah. And she's also part of the, it's called Daughters of Isis for a reason. She's also half the industry here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I do all of that. She's the Chinese herbalist and the acupuncturist.
Interesting.
And she also does a few other things. She can groom dogs, and she loves that. And she's been a nail tech, which is not. I'd rather she didn't, but she enjoys the painting and everything and the little art and stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely, she's also a ceremonialist healer too.
Well, it's nice to know that both of you have been successful in careers that aren't mainstream. Let's say they're more attuned to uniqueness and individuality, and that's great.
Well, and Jack, the success measure not in bank
accounts,
not
dollars always,
accumulation of goods that make us happy. It's what we do that makes us happy, and pursuing it. God, Deb, my sister, studying for being an acupuncturist, she began in her mid-40s to study. It's like going to med school. And she had to memorize the whole human body. Oh, my God, what you call her doc, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's a school.
Well, you need to know that stuff to be able to do that field properly.
Oh yeah, and she helps especially with my nephew and his football pals, you know, during the season and out of training, and keeping the chi flow open, guys, keeping that force coming in.
That's great. You know, we shouldn't forget there are in this world today, this being International Women's Day, the horrible situation of so many battered women and women that are used as sexual slaves and transported across borders, kidnapped and forced from an early age on to do what their pimp wants. I mean, it is just unreal. The amount of cruelty that the fairer gender is supported is forced
Jack,
into sometimes.
Jack,
India, I think now it's rape capital of the world.
Just one little minute. I would like to get this in here. Jack, there's also this. People have their own spiritual lives, and I regard that as something sacred. I don't question people's beliefs as long as they don't condemn me openly or they don't, use violence and hatred against people.
Right.
But I'm going to say today that in Islam, a majority of men treat women not just misogynist, but with cruelty and in a punishing life circumstance.
I would say that's generally true, but I'd say there are specific incidences where the family life is are very well treasured and cared for. It's certain sects, like the Wahhabs, I think, are very bad about that. And the Taliban and those guys were just, they wanted to keep them stupid and illiterate
It's all through Middle Eastern Islamic states like Saudi Arabia.
Well, there's a Wahhab right there.
It's really pretty awful what they're capable of doing. And they're getting called out on their television sources over there, too. I saw a post today about Remy television over there with a woman, a commentator who would not take the crap that the elder was throwing at her because she was a woman. And she was on the And I thought that takes bravery.
And asking your husband's permission if you can drive or do things. I mean, that's insane.
It's a very hard thing to deal with. And if on International Women's Day, it should be noted that there are many wonderful ladies out there that are living under the wrong kind of a veil.
Exactly true. You said it in a nutshell, Gwen. That's very true. And, we don't have to look very far. You can even see episodes of that in our own country.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Agreed.
Well, I'll point you to the Southern Baptists there in seminary in Illinois, where they have, and this is what they're preaching, called the Full Quiver Project. Under the threat that there's not the white race isn't reproducing itself well enough,
and I've heard of this
coming up from Mexico and stuff. This has also been on my posts of Engineer of Knowledge and also Minds and Times,
right,
where basically they just say God decides whether a womb is open or closed. Women are not to be using any form of birth control, and at the husband's whim and desires, whether or not the wife gets pregnant or not.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the woman has no right over her own body. And
is
what's coming out of the head seminary itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of ignorance out there. Male-dominated ignorance.
It's bearing the dark. I just call it the dark anymore, guys. I got to tell you. I am writing some fiction right now, so it bleeds over. But it is the dark. A lot of dark out there, and we've got to keep shining the light brighter.
Keep pushing forward and light that light and make it shine bright. Yep.
Great.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being with me. Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post and F. Wayne Johnson from Life and Times of F. Wayne Johnson, Life and Mind, Life and Times.
Minds and Times.
Say it right.
Yep. Have a great week, everybody. My post about Ben and Jerry's stampstampede.org is going to appear midweek or so. So be on the lookout for that at the Saturday Afternoon Post. And are you ready to post something again, Wayne? soon?
You know what? I will have to, yes. I'll be coming up something here soon and reposting something. I haven't quite fleshed it out yet, but I do
That's
have
fine.
Some ideas.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. I go to your site every now and then, so yeah.
When you do, Wayne, will you please post it on your page on Facebook?
Yes. As soon as I learn how to do that. Now, see, that's what I've been concentrating on is Facebook, figuring it out. You know, gee, what's this? What do you do this for? So, yeah, Facebook, my daughter set me up on that, and I'm still learning.
Above all, keep pushing forward, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk with you and at you again next Sunday.
Very good, and good night.
Thank you, Gwen.
You're welcome.
And happy Women's Day.
Thank you. And this is the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. We'll be back with you next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Jack.